It is mentioned, first of all, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, and then it is mentioned over in the closing verses of that book and that letter to a young minister by the name of Timothy in the fourth chapter and verse 19. And I invite your reading tonight, if you will. We're going to look at the verses, and then we're going to go back and kind of discuss this a little bit more at length. In verse 16, Paul the Apostle says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." And it says, "For he hath oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. And the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, for thou knowest very well." And then in the closing verses, you'll find where Paul, as he makes salutation, and that salutation should be made unto Prisca and Aquila, or Priscilla and Aquila, he remembers this man as well. You know, when I think of this man's life, I think of a man who was a spirit refresher. And Paul actually says that here. He says, "Onesiphorus has refreshed my spirit." You know, I would to God today that we had more people in the church like this man. You know, we have a lot of people in the church today that are somewhat discouraging, and sometimes people often speak disparaging remarks about one another. But when I think about this individual and what he did for Paul and what he meant to Paul, then certainly we should want to emulate the very thing that we see in his life. And I think if you could sum it all up, you could say that this individual was a kind and courageous and loving individual. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to take you back to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to work our way through this, and we're going to look at some of his qualities and what Jesus had to say about kindness. So if you will be turning tonight in your Bibles to the book of Mark, to the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, and we're going to look specifically at verse 13. The Bible here in the Gospel of Mark, the word says, "And they brought young children unto him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children, he said, and allow them to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein." And then the Bible says that he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. You know, Robert E. Lee was, when he retired, he became president of what we know today as actually Washington and Lee University. It was at one time known as Washington Academy, but the name was changed back in the year 1871. And there was a young man who came into General Lee one morning and wanted to go to college there. And when he walked in, he looked at General Lee and he said, I'd like to go to this university. He said, but I'd like to know what the rules are. And General Lee looked at him and he said, rules? He said, we have no rules here. He said, you have no rules at this university? And he says, no, we don't have any rules at all. Not rules. He said, we have a rule. He said, well, what is the rule? And he said, the rule is the law of kindness. You know, I've often thought in my mind, wouldn't the world be a greater place if people followed simply the rule of kindness? In the book of Proverbs 31, the Bible says of that virtuous woman that in her tongue was the law of kindness. Kindness is a very beautiful but yet rare commodity in today's world. Someone said that the rule of human kindness is indeed a rare one, but the milk of human kindness never ever curdles. Someone did a survey not long ago, and they found that 89% of the American people actually believe that probably some of the most difficult things that we face in America today are rudeness, unkindness, harshness in what they say, and in how they act. And you know, that's true. Did you know that there is available today on the internet, and you can actually join this society that is called the Kindness Society? And you can look it up on the internet to become a member of the Kindness Society. And, you know, I've often again thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just followed the golden rule of Jesus? And I really believe that that's what this individual did. When he ministered unto Paul, and when he refreshed his spirit, why, what greater way can we refresh the spirits of each other than by being kind one toward another? Let me give you what my definition is of kindness. Now, if you want to write this down, that's fine. But the definition, what I really believe kindness is treating others the way, not that others have treated you, but treating others the way that God has treated you. Do you know that God has been kind to us? One of the great attributes of the Father is that He is kind. He is kind to you. He is kind to me. He is kind to all. And then in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul says that we are to be kind one toward another. And I think the kindness of Jesus is manifested in this story over in the book of Mark chapter 10. Now get the picture, if you will. They were bringing these little children, parents were, for Jesus to bless. Well, you know, you've seen that a lot of times. In this particular story, the disciples were really troubled by what these parents were doing. They thought Jesus was being a little overtaxed, and so they thought it was an unkindness on their part to bring those snotty-nosed little kids up to Jesus for him to touch. But Jesus didn't feel that way at all. Jesus looked at him and said, "Allow the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now let me tell you how kindness walks and how kindness talks in light of the one whom we're discussing tonight. I believe, first of all, that we should look at the kindness that is seen in the life of Jesus, and I think that's what this individual did for Paul. Why did he refresh his spirit? Why, he had learned many, many times great lessons from the Lord Jesus and from his life. Now, a lot of individuals believe, perhaps, that this individual was a merchant in Ephesus and that he had come to Rome on different occasions. And while he was there, he decided that he is going to visit the Apostle Paul. Now, the Bible says that he sought him out diligently, and perhaps maybe that was because Paul was moved from one cell to another in Rome. We don't know that exactly. A lot of it is speculation, but be that as it may, the kindness is seen in this man's heart. Now, when they were bringing these little children unto Jesus, the disciples, I guess, actually thought they were the secret service, so to say, of Christ, and they were kind of watching out for them. But Jesus actually was displeased with their action and what they were doing. Do you know, even in the day of Jesus, people lived in what we commonly call today a dog-eat-dog world. Everybody's looking out for number one. They really are. They're not really concerned about other people. But when Jesus Christ came into the world, He poured the milk of human kindness in every bowl of heartache and despair, sickness and sorrow. In the book of Psalms 117, verse 1 and 2, David wrote that His merciful kindness is great toward all of us, as he speaks of God. Jesus even taught, did he not, in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 44, to love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you for my sake. Isn't it wonderful to be able to knock the lights out? But he says, be kind to your enemies. You know, love them. Entreat them. But you know how we react oftentimes to our enemies? We react unkindly. We want to get even or get ahead of someone else. And yet Jesus said to love them. And I believe that that was what Jesus did. I really do believe he did. And I believe that God is saying that we should follow that same pattern. There are three things that you and I have tonight because of the kindness of God. He supplies our salvation. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. For the Bible says that the kindness of God, or the goodness of God, hath appeared unto us, bringing salvation. Why, he leads us away from our sins, according to the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And we have the hope of eternal life because Jesus came into the world and showered his kindness upon you and upon me. Well, let's look at how kindness, secondly, should be seen in our lives. We've looked at how we see it in the life of Jesus, but how should people be able to see the kindness of God in our lives? You know, some of the most defenseless people in the world are young babies. And I really believe that. And you know, we live in a world today where young babies have no right, beginning in the womb. We have a lot of people that are advocates of abortion, for birth control, or for whatever reason, and yet we know that it's wrong in the sight of God. But even young babies that are born and brought into the world are defenseless individuals, and we hear so much today about child abuse, and these are very terrible, terrible things. I have had to go to the court of law before to testify in behalf of young children who were abused by their parents on numerous occasions, not in our congregation, thank the good Lord, but people that I have known and have been acquainted with for some time. When Luke records this incident, he does not use the word for children, but he uses the word briphos. And that is the word that is often used for babies. And so when they brought, when they were bringing those children, as the Bible says here in the King James, unto Jesus, they were actually bringing little babies unto Jesus to bless. Jesus taught a great lesson, I think. He taught that it is wonderful, or it is nice to be important, but more important to be nice. And I'm afraid a lot of times in the church today that a lot of people are more concerned about being important than they are about being nice and kind and spirit refreshers. Abraham Lincoln, believe it or not, I believe was one of the great spirit refreshers of all time. Lincoln was, to me, one of the great presidents who ever lived. And one time our president, President Lincoln, was hosting a dinner at the White House. And that really wasn't uncommon. It isn't uncommon today. But once a year, the president would reach out to all the country folks. You know, it wasn't the elite, but it was the country folk. And he would invite them in, old farmers and ranchers, and he would invite them in for a dinner there at the White House. Well, anyway, when they came in, some of those blue hairs that were there, you know, the rich, the elite, were kind of observing what was going on with these old farmers. And he noticed that one of these old farmers would take his cup of coffee and he would pour it in a saucer. And, you know, he would just sit there and kind of blow it a little bit, and then he would turn it up and start drinking it. Well, you know, that just incensed the elite and the real astute. Well, and he could tell that it was going to be a very, very embarrassing situation. And so you know what President Lincoln did? He reached over, he took his cup of coffee, poured a little bit in that saucer, blew it a little bit, and turned it up. And I'm going to tell you, those elite just stood back and looked, you know. But you know what the president was doing? He was doing something that kept others from being embarrassed. It was an act of kindness on his part. It really was. And I believe that the world ought to see kindness in our lives as well. You know, many of us get into the habit of being unkind. We really do. You know, someone gets in our way, we just kind of want to blow them out of the way. How many times have you ever been driving down the highway, maybe, and you pull up to a traffic signal, and the individual, the light turns green, and he doesn't go, and what do? You just sit back there and sit on your horn, and you blow, and you blow, and you blow. I heard about an individual one time who had gotten in a car with a friend of his. And they were driving down the road. And anyway, when the man that was driving came to a red light, he just drove right on through that red light. And his friend looked at him. He says, "Man, you just ran a red light." And he said, "Oh, I know. My brother does it all the time. Don't worry about it." Well, anyway, they come to another traffic light. The light's red. He just goes right on through. And his friend says, "Man, you just ran another red light. What's wrong with you?" He said, "Don't worry about it. My brother does it all the time." Anyway, he went a little bit further. He came to a green light, and he stopped. And his friend looked over at him. He says, "Man, I can't figure you out." He says, "You know, you just go right on through red lights, but you stopped at this green light. Why in the world would you do that?" He said, "My brother may be coming." Well, you know, you know, we get in habit sometimes of doing things, and sometimes a habit of unkindness. We really do. We should be a people that are kind and loving and easily entreated. Our kindness is to be shared with others in life and even with our words. You know, the greatest way in the world that you and I can be kind is with our words. That's why David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. You know what? We've relegated that and say, well, now he's talking about Scripture. That's not really true. I think David is setting a precedent there for everything that he says. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, whatever it is, whatever I'm thinking about, whatever I am saying, let it be acceptable in thy sight. You know, Jesus said that we're going to give an account for our words, aren't we? He said that. He said, for every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How many of you have ever heard the name Stephen Grillet? Anybody? You may not have heard the name, but you have heard something that he wrote a number of years ago. He said, I shall pass through this world but once. And he said, any kindness that I can share, let me do it now, for I shall not pass this way again. You know, you and I should live every day in that fashion. We should understand that what Jesus did and Osephorus did, I can tell you, is something that we ought to emulate in our life. Jesus blessed these young children. Do you know that everywhere we go, we carry a kindness kit with us? You know what your kindness kit is? It's your tongue. It is. Because your words can either condemn, your words can either hurt and destroy, or they can heal. They can. I really believe that you and I ought to be a kind and loving people. Kindness is not just in how we act, but in how we react. We should be kind to friends, but Jesus taught that we are to be kind and that we are to be spirit refreshers even to our foes. Who needs it worse than our foes, folks? How many of you remember reading Nancy and Sluggo in the paper? Anybody? Anybody still read the funny papers? I read one time, and Sluggo said to Nancy, she said, you know what? She said that new fathead Anyway, he says, hey, wait a minute, Nancy, don't call that guy fathead. And she said, no, that new fathead in school. And he said, don't call that individual a fathead. And she said, all I was saying was that that new fathead in school said that you were a stupid-looking guy. He said, well, what else did that stupid fathead say? You know what? Kindness is not a sentimental softness or indulgence, but it is a way of life that we live every day. Sometimes people say, well, it's unkind to spank children. I'll never forget, I was over in the state of Louisiana conducting a gospel revival one time, and we were talking in Bible class about how important it is to punish children when they do wrong. And the preacher's wife spoke up, and she said, hey, I just think it's unkind to punish children. Jesus never, ever thought it was unkind to punish children. As a matter of fact, it is unkind not to punish children when they do wrong. Well, the Bible in the book of Galatians chapter 6 says that if a brother be overtaken in a fault, either the Spirit shall restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, you know what we do sometimes? We don't go to the brother and talk to him. We get behind his back and talk about him. It is an act of kindness when you go to him and you correct him and you help him understand what he needs to do. That is kindness. Sometimes we're so unkind. And sometimes we don't intentionally mean to be that way, even though sometimes they do. I heard about a man one time who was in an airport, and he was leaving Dallas and he was going to New York. So anyway, when he walked up to the counter, he said, look, he says, I'm going to New York, but he said, I'd like you to send this suitcase over here to London. He said, I'd like you to send this one to Las Vegas, and I'd like for you to send this one to Chicago. And he said, sir, we can't do that. He said, I don't know why you did it last time I flew. Kindness. Sometimes it's just little ways that we can be kind. You know, I was in Tyler not long ago, and I was in Luby's. And one of the most interesting things happened to me, and I don't guess I shall ever forget it. There was a black lady and her little girl who was in a wheelchair. And anyway, they were coming out. I had eaten, and I had gone up to check out and pay out. And anyway, this black lady was rolling her little girl in the wheelchair, who obviously could not walk. And she was wheeling her up to the counter to pay out. And for some reason or another, she rolled that wheelchair right over my foot. And she kept saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry." And, you know, I could tell that the little girl was really embarrassed about it as well. And I walked over to that little girl and I said, "You know what? You're just about the most beautiful little girl, I believe, that I have ever seen." And her face lit up. And I walked on out. And as I was walking to my car, the mother got her daughter to the car very quickly, and she came over to me and she said, "Mister," she said, "I don't know who you are, but," she said, "I want you to know that you made my little girl's day." Kindness. Kindness. You know, so many of us are so unkind. Jesus held these babies. And don't you know he was refreshing the spirit of those parents, like our brother in 2 Timothy? He held them in his arms. Everybody feels a surge of kindness when we come to Jesus. And don't you know that when Christ held those little babies, there was a surge of kindness that perhaps maybe they felt in their arms that even a mother's love cannot touch? And when they looked into the eyes of Jesus, they felt kindness. There's a very interesting story that unfolds in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want you to turn there tonight as well. In the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Bible, beginning in verse 1, says, "And when he was come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, 'See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.'" Do you know something happened in this story that you may have never, ever considered? Do you know that for the first time in the history of the human race, that anyone, that we have record of, that anyone ever touched a leper in the Old Testament or in the New? But verse 3 says that Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. For over 3,000 years of recorded history, no one had ever touched a leper. Do you think that man's spirit felt refreshed? I do. There's a story told by, really it's a story about Dr. Paul Brand. You may not have heard of him. He was a leper specialist, believe it or not. There is a bacteria called leprosy bacilli. Now, you may not know much about leprosy. I didn't really understand a whole lot about it for a long, long time. But it attacks the nerve cells and actually kills them. And what happens in leprosy, your extremities just start falling off. You've seen pictures of some of these people that have leprosy. Their extremities just drop off. I mean, the fingers and everything. And the real pain is not so much physical pain as it is emotional pain, because you're such an outcast. Dr. Paul Brand was a missionary, and a medical missionary, and he was a leprosy specialist. And as most of you know also, a leprosy patient can walk on rusty nails and not feel pain. He can scratch the cornea of his eye and not even know that he has done that. He can get a splinter in his hand and still not be really aware of it. And he can damage all kind of tissue in his body, but not knowing what he's doing. On this particular occasion, Dr. Brand was in India. And they brought a young man in his 20s unto Jesus. And this young man, as we often say, was eaten up with leprosy. Dr. Brand reached out and put his hand on that young man's shoulder to tell him how he was going to treat his leprosy. And this young man broke down in tears and began to sob and weep. Dr. Brand said he was shaking so hard he didn't know what he was going to do. But he looked over at the interpreter and he said, "What have I done? What have I done?" And the interpreter said to Dr. Brand, he said, "Oh, you haven't done anything," harshly. He said, "Dr. Brand, this young man is weeping because this is the first time anyone has touched him since he was a young baby." You know, sometimes in our life and in our lives, we forget that we are to reach out and touch one another. Onesiphorus did this. And you know what? We ought to be a people just like that individual. This individual was just like our Lord. He was a spirit refresher. This man sought Paul. He searched for him diligently. You know, a lot of times in life, we are people that often react instead of acting. Let me tell you the difference. Someone comes to us and says, at the church and says, "Hey, I have a special need. Can you help me with it?" Well, most of us would say, "Oh, sure, let me help you with it." And we react to their need with kindness. But you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be searching out the people in this world that are hurting. And the people who need the touch of human kindness. And act instead of reacting. We ought to people, you know, a lot of times, and I'm serious, folks, I'm telling you this, I think a lot of times in the church, it is one of our big problems. And sometimes we put them through so many questions when they come to us for help. And I understand the prudence of being able to ask questions and find out a little bit about them. But sometimes we act like the FBI or the CIA before we want to show kindness to people that have great needs. Our Lord didn't do that. Our Lord didn't sit back and say, "Well, now I wonder if you're worthy." But Jesus acted. Onesiphorus acted when he went to Rome. One individual wrote this story, and I want to close with this. I think it illustrates what kindness really is. He said, "One morning I was watching my feathered friends." He says, "As I often did, I would watch birds." And he said, "I saw the most unusual happening." He said, "Three robins flew into the yard together and landed underneath a lilac bush. And one bird stayed half hidden there while the other two hopped," he says, "upon the feeder and began scratching and fluttering wildly, scattering the seed and the berries all over the ground." He said, "I thought the ruckus was performed to really frighten off the other birds. Then I was a bit put out by their greediness. But the next day, the same three birds," he said, "returned again, and the same procedure ensued. Crazy old robins, I thought to myself. Why, there's enough for all without shoving all the other birds away." He said, "I'll fix them." He said, "The next day I waited for their arrival with a small water pistol in hand, ready to flush the gluttons away. And it was then that I noticed a curious thing. I guess it was the way they flew into the yard that really made me stop and evaluate the entire situation. The birds flew together in precision-like form, like fighter pilots kind of wing-tipping each other. And when they landed, one robin always hid back in the brush while the others got up on the feeding tray. And as they began fluttering and scratching again, he said, I went and got my binoculars to observe more closely their unusual behavior. He said, from the kitchen window, my observation brought some astonishing facts to view. The robin on the ground was blind. He had one eye missing, and as he wheeled around, the other eye was half covered with film. And the other birds were scratching the seed off of the feeder onto the ground so their handicapped companion could eat. And when the three had had their fill, the two lead robins fluttered gently against the sightless bird, chirping endlessly as they guided him into flight, still maintaining wing-to-wing contact. As they faded from my sight, a sense of humiliation at the thought of my own blindness had swept over me. Tears came into my eyes as I fully realized the love and caring that I had witnessed. At that moment, I made a vow that in my own world, I would be more careful to wing-touch others with kindness, and with that same attitude of unselfishness, in hopes that I could encourage a timid soul to fly. You know, isn't that really what we're about? Wing-touching others, reaching out, touching them with our love and our kindness, and refreshing their spirit, and lifting them when they're down, helping them up when they have fallen. Do you know there is as much said in the Word of God about encouraging the weak as there is about claiming the lost for Jesus? As a matter of fact, if you were just to stop and think, the majority of the New Testament, it is about encouraging Christians more than making Christians. Sometimes we tend to forget that. I hope tonight that we will draw from the life of Onesiphorus and from his kindness toward Paul and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ those qualities that can enrich our own and help us to wing touch others. Thank you.